We have gifts for all the smart home fanatics in your life, whether they're beginners or advanced, because Micah Sargent is here to help us on iOS today.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This episode of iOS Today is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Protect your online activity today for 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. Go to expressvpn.com/iOS today. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. And by Slide Belts by Brig Taylor. High-quality, comfortable ratchet belts that are easy to adjust. Get a better belt for yourself and your loved ones this holiday season. Go to slidebelts.com/twit and use the code TWIT for 20% off. Welcome to iOS Today. I am Megan Maroney. Leo Laporte is out this week, and this is the show where we talk about iPhones and Apple Watches and iPads and Apple TV. And I am so excited because today I am joined by Micah Sargent from Chihuahua.coffee.
Hello, Megan. Hello. It's been a while.
It has been a while. You're busy with the Chihuahua and the coffee.
You know, I keep busy with Chihuahuas, with coffee, with podcasts, with the whole kit and caboodle, as they say. But here I am today on iOS. Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the show. iOS today.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because we did my gift guide last week. Next week we're going to do Leo's gift guide, and today we're going to do your gift guide. And you're a smart home expert.
So. You know, some people would call me that. I guess I can. I do have the card that says no. I know a thing or two about smart home stuff.
Yeah, you've tried all the stuff. So we have. You've given. You're going to give us many suggestions, like some stocking stuffers, some stuff to get started, some tips for buying smart home stuff for the people on your list, and then some advanced stuff for the people who are already involved in it. Let's get started. Let's start with the cheap stuff. I always like to start with the inexpensive stuff, probably.
Thank you. Yes. That is actually the word that I was going to use instead. I'm always kind of making that correction in life. Like, okay, when I tell you that this is cheap, that's not what I mean. I mean, it's inexpensive because, yeah, you don't want cheap stuff. You want stuff that doesn't cost much but still works well. And there are some inexpensive devices that can help you kind of kickstart your smart home. And so we should probably start there. Now, you can look at things sort of in terms of like a package where you are kind of building a smart home that has a few different things in it that are going to help you kind of understand what a smart home is. Or you can look at things in terms of how can I just get a couple fun devices that I can add to my house to give the smart home, this whole smart home thing, a try. And depending on what you're after, that's kind of where you want to go. So I recommend that a lot of folks start with either a smart bulb or a smart plug. And in most cases, I'm going to suggest starting with a smart plug because when it comes to smart bulbs, I am very much in favor of the Hue lighting system. Mm-hmm. And that Hue lighting system is kind of an investment. So Kugeek is a company that makes smart home gadgets of all sorts, but they've got one of their products is a plug, a smart plug. And the Kugeek smart plug is $36 at this point, perhaps even less. And this device is simple. It's just a device that you plug into the wall, you plug something into it, and then it lights up or turns on whatever device you have plugged in and turns off whenever you choose to. Another one that I want to talk about, and this is genuinely probably my favorite smart home gadget in all of smart home gadgetry because it's constantly been reliable. It looks nice and it's just good. It's called the iDevices Switch. And this is another smart plug. But the thing about the iDevices Switch, which is a bonkers $30 right now. Seriously, folks, like if you're looking to give somebody something exciting and you want to make sure that it works with Alexa, that's Amazon's smart home assistant, HomeKit, and I believe others, even the Google Home or the Google Assistant. The iDevices Switch is incredible because not only is it smart design in that the plug is on the side of the smart plug, meaning that it's not going to be this ugly wall wart that sticks 3 feet off of your wall, but also it has this nice little LED light that runs, or rather LED strip that runs across the front of the device. And so you can use that as a night light. That way, you know, at night, if you're walking through the hallway, you've got one of these plugged in, that little purple, blue, red, whatever color you want to make it light will be there and allow you to sort of find your way along the hallway or maybe the stairs, depending on where you have outlets set up. So it's a pretty fantastic choice as well.
That's what Leo uses. He said he's using it for his holiday lights, the plug. I have so many like one-offs that I don't have this one, although I'm going to buy it as soon as the show is over because yes. I like that it's that it's lit up in front. But I've been using the Eve, and I know you're by Elgato. I know you're a fan of Eve. What do you think of their smart plug? It's a little bit more expensive. Is that why it's not on this list?
Yeah, it's a little bit more expensive, and here is the deal. It depends on sort of what you're looking for and how your setup is put together. If this is your first sort of jump into smart home stuff, then you're probably going to be okay with an Eve device. But if this is, you know, if you've got a little bit of experience and you've got some different smart home devices in your house, then you've got to think about things. So let me explain. Eve setup, their whole sort of push is that they use Bluetooth LE, that's Bluetooth low energy technology, to communicate between those devices and your phone or whatever device it is that you're using to control those plugs, those switches, those outlets, etc. And because of that, it means that you aren't like crowding your Wi-Fi network so much that there are options other than using, you know, the Wi-Fi that's connecting all the rest of your house. And it's really helpful in devices that are battery powered that Eve sells, but it is not so helpful, I feel, in devices that you expect to work immediately. Mm. If you want to hit a button and see your light turn on, then you want to get a Wi-Fi enabled plug or you know, light or outlet or what have you. Because every time I go to hit the button to turn on my overhead light in my office, for example, it is controlled by an Eve in-wall switch. It takes, you know, half a second, but that's half a second that if I just had a switch in the wall, it wouldn't take. And I think that when you are getting into smart home tech and you're trying to convince other people who might live with you that this is a cool idea, you really don't want to make them feel like they're giving anything up by switching to smart home tech. You may think it's super awesome that you can control your lights from the couch, but others might not think it's super awesome that where before they could just flip a switch and the light turned on, now they have to wait 3 seconds for the Bluetooth to connect to make the actual light switch work. That's not a good experience. And so because of that, when it comes to sort of dipping your foot into smart home stuff, I think that it's better to get something that everybody can be happy with because it's going to work as close to the actual sort of non-smart outlets and plugs and switches and things like that that you have in your house.
That's such a good point. I think 75% of this is convincing whoever else you live with that this is a good idea.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think too, you know, even for me, where I'm spoiled in with my Wi-Fi connected stuff. And so when my switch doesn't work, I'm like, what's going on? You know, why is this not working? And if you don't have this is another important note. If you don't have an iPad that you leave at home, and I'm specifically speaking to HomeKit, because HomeKit does a really cool thing when it comes to Bluetooth LE, where even if you're out of the home, you can still communicate with those Bluetooth LE devices as long as you have one or more of three things, either an iPad that you leave in the home, a HomePod, or an Apple TV. Those devices will actually send out the signal required to communicate with those switches even while you're out of the home. And if you don't have one of those three things, then please get a Wi-Fi switch for sure, because that's part of the fun and like the value prop of having smart home stuff is that you're away and you can't remember if you turned off the dehumidifier and you don't want to come back to water would be nice, a dry house. So you want to make sure you can shut off that dehumidifier while you're gone.
Yeah. Or the holiday lights as well.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. The holiday lights. That's one of my favorite things. And Eve sells, I think it's Eve. I know iDevices certainly has one. It is an outdoor plug that's specifically meant for snow can get, it's waterproof and dustproof and windproof and all that kind of stuff. So if you have, you know, Frosty the Snowman outside and 12 light up, blow up things and all those things that you want to make sure that you aren't running when you don't mean to be, then I suggest getting a smart home device for that as well. And a good thing about those is that you can look and see many of them, and I do believe iDevices is one that offers this, energy use. And so that way you can kind of grit your teeth whenever you realize how much your lights are using, how much energy your lights are using.
Yeah, I think Leo said last week that his lights were using like $5 an hour or something like that.
That seems like a lot.
Maybe it was $5 a day. But
okay, that's a little bit more. I mean, still, that's a lot.
Yeah, and then it's a lot of lights. Maybe it was $5 now, because I was just keeping mine on all the time because, like, I just not keeping them on all the time. I had automated them to go off at sunrise and on at sunset because I just liked that idea. So
that's what I do. Yeah.
But then he was like, "You really need them? Like, do you need them going? You know, at 2 a.m. and do you know how much these cost?" So I changed it to on at sunset, off at midnight.
Well, and see, a tip I have for folks there, and by the way, Scooter X in the chat says, Leo does have the iDevices outdoor switch, which is the one that I recommend as well. And it will tell you energy reporting costs. But anyway, a recommendation that I have for folks who are wanting to decorate for the holidays, don't skimp on getting incandescent lights, Christmas lights or holiday lights. If you have old holiday lights that you've had for years and they're incandescent, I really recommend upgrading to LED lights because you're going to save so much money and they're typically going to last longer. They're brighter. It's all good. And they're made with more modern materials as well. So they will probably last longer in that sense too. I feel that it's worth the upgrade. When I went out to buy lights for my first actual home that I'm living in, as opposed to just like a rental unit, I went and got, you know, LEDs, and the costs were negligible. But I don't have any inflatable fans going or anything like that outside. I know a lot of folks love those. None of that. So I'm not spending too much money. Most of mine is light based and it ends up not costing too terribly much. But I've got my front yard lights and my backyard light set up in that way, Megan, where at sunset they turn on and at sunrise they turn off. And so I don't ever have to think about it. And those lights are always, you know, there to make sure that if someone's coming to visit or if I'm leaving or what have you, I can see where I'm going and that the house is more lit up. So it's not, I don't know, inviting to ne'er-do-wells.
Exactly. Yes. Those ne'er-do-wells. Here's my setup that I've done in automation. It's HomeKit is one of those things I feel like that Apple doesn't make as easy as they could. So I have two smart plugs. One is a Wemo, which are a little bit cheaper than the ones that we mentioned, that you mentioned, I think, and they're even on, mm-hmm. on sale right now. So like the right hand side of my house, it goes on, it turns off at 10 p.m., not midnight, 10 p.m., which is nice. My somewhat smart home is what I've called it, because sometimes it's
That's
smart
cute.
And sometimes not so much. And then, yeah, so it goes on at sunset, the left and the right. And this is just, yeah, a smart plug. Like if you had lights, you could do that with those too.
Yeah, depending on sort of if you're using Philips Hue setups and things like that, it could be, you know, set up that way. And surprisingly, I don't have a whole lot of automations set up because I just don't need them as one person. My dogs don't need any automations, so they're okay. But for me, like I said, I've got the one that turns on and off the lights at sunrise and sunset. I'll have that set up for the holiday lights as well. And the other one that I have is that if no one is home and somebody, so when the first person comes home is what it's called, but it's like when nobody's home and the first person comes home, then it turns on a light in my living, in my dining room and in my kitchen, because that's the area that I walk through from the garage. And so that way I don't have to sort of find my way around in the dark or the near dark. And if I'm bringing home groceries or something, then those lights are already on and ready for me. So those location-based automations can be very helpful. And Apple has improved that technology for HomeKit that makes it better, because if somebody were already at home, they've got the lights set up a certain way. You don't want to come into the house and then it turns on lights and turns off others just because you are coming in, or vice versa. When you leave, then it makes all of the person's lights go away. And so there's an option for when the last person leaves the house, then do this automation. And I think that that's very clever, very handy, and shows the power of the smart home, so to speak.
Yeah, it is funny when you set these automations and you sort of forget, like you've set them, you know, the lights to go on at sunset or off.
Who turned on the lights?
Exactly. I think what we've learned is that if you really want to go full on smart home, you just have to live alone like a hermit. That's the best way
to
do that.
Yeah. Like a dog lady. Yeah. That's me.
Yeah, it doesn't, because I did, I think maybe this is on your list too, the Eve motion sensor. I had one of these set up and I put it in our liquor cabinet at home because I have three teenagers at home. And rather than put like cameras everywhere, which I feel like is a little bit, I don't want them to grow up in a Big Brother house, so we have no indoor cameras. But just like to know, is anyone opening the liquor cabinet? Because it's just a cabinet. It has no lock or anything like that. And then it was going off all the time because I realized there were people out of other stuff in there. And then it's just of false alarms. So it seemed like a good idea at the time. And maybe I will do it, set it again. But yeah, like that's also
figure it out to do it a little bit better. Because you could even do it so far as like you have the motion sensor set up there and then the Hue light in your master bedroom turns on and turns red or something.
Right,
and it's
exactly.
Like, oh no, someone's in the liquor cabinet. Yes. I do want to talk about the sort of advanced stuff, but I don't know if you want to talk about that yet. And one of those would be motion.
Yeah, let's wait to talk about this. So you didn't mention the Wemo. The Wemo are pretty cheap now. I think like if you buy a Google Home Mini, you get a Wemo or maybe even two. What do you think about those smart plugs?
Now, those are, so for me, I tend to, because of the way that my home is set up, it's HomeKit first. And so those are only recently sort of available to me on my list because they have added the ability to connect to HomeKit. And that was something that Apple introduced a couple iOS version or a couple like point versions ago, giving folks the possibility to do software-based authentication for HomeKit stuff. So companies who already have their products out on the market don't have to design a new product to put that HomeKit hardware chip into it. They can go ahead and show via software that the device is authenticated and then use those gadgets along with others to market them as HomeKit enabled, or as it's called, works with Apple HomeKit. Mm-hmm. So Wemo is new to me. And because of my sort of love of iDevices plugs, I've had no reason. I tend only to diversify when it comes to testing new products, but when it comes to the ones that I actually buy and keep and use, I stick to one as much as possible. And so that has been, in terms of plugs, iDevices, because I've had such a reliable connection with those and they seem to work well together. But yes, Wemo is inexpensive and I've heard lots of good things from folks about it. So if, you know, you're looking for a good deal on smart home plugs, then I think that it's a reasonable one. And also it depends too on whether you're going to go Amazon Echo based, Google Home based, or I would say HomePod based, but really it's more Siri based.
Yeah, and a lot of them do all three now. I like the Wemo, but it was a little bit harder to set up than the Eve. And I don't know, I mean, I guess maybe now I understand because Eve works on Bluetooth and my phone was right there, whereas the Wemo was working on Wi-Fi. And this, again, I was outside on my front porch.
Okay.
And so it was probably harder. It just took a couple more times, you know. I mean, everyone who's set up a smart home knows that experience where you're sitting in your front of your phone and watching the spinning thing, wondering if it's going to connect or not.
Why isn't it connecting? Yeah.
Yeah. This time, the next time, change to 2.4 gigahertz, then it'll do it. Maybe it'll never do it. You never know. And so it's just part of the fun.
Oh, boy. See, and this is another recommendation that I have. If you're going to buy HomeKit enabled products, if you sort of are based in the Apple Home app, if you are going that way with things, then one of the cool, I feel, requirements of being able to market your device as works with Apple HomeKit is that the device has to be able to be set up completely using the Home app for iOS, meaning that you don't have to download the third-party app to get it working. Mm-hmm. In order to pass the requirements set forward by Apple, Apple's engineers, when they test it, have to be able to set it up completely and use it with that, with the Home app that comes with iOS. So there are many reasons that I think that this is a good thing. One is because the Home app uses your local network to control these devices, meaning that it's not, you know, pinging servers this way and that way to make the connection, so that even if, you know, internet in your area is down, your local network can still make those connections. But two, a lot of times these third-party smart home gadgets require you to sign up for an account right whenever you get the app. Mm-hmm. And so now suddenly your name, your email address, and whatever else they ask you to plug in is connected to the usage data of that device. And those two sort of, you know, just in terms of privacy and thinking about that and how you're using the device, especially with something as personal and private as your own home, I like to try to avoid using those third-party apps as much as possible. The one area where you'll run into a problem is with firmware updates. HomeKit and the Home app is supposed to be able to allow you to make firmware updates from within the app, but I've had issues getting that to work in the past. And so in the end, it required me to download the app in order to install those firmware updates. The one plus was that a lot of the apps do offer us an option to sort of skip signing up for an account and using their cloud services for all sorts of things. So if you're able to do that, again, that's a recommendation that I have. And Google Home, too, and the Google Assistant is getting better about you being able to control your devices just using the Google Home app and the Google Assistant without having to, you know, go through the third party kind of dance. Mm-hmm. So both of those areas are good. And then, of course, Amazon's Echo. It's a little bit more difficult and does require a lot of dancing with the internet in order to make it work. But yeah, this is why I typically like to go HomeKit first if I can help it. And typically if it's HomeKit enabled, which is a little bit more difficult for manufacturers to make possible, then it's also going to be at the very least Alexa enabled. Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned Hue lights, which you have some, but then you also have this TP-Link light recommendation for a little bit cheaper lights.
Yes. So this is, you know, it was kind of a mad dash to find some different ways for folks to save money and put together a smart home package. And so the TP-Link light, I've tried the TP-Link plug before and have had good luck with it. And so the TP-Link, their whole line is called like Casa, I believe, mm-hmm. which is home. That's clever. Anyway, the TP-Link plug or light is just a Wi-Fi enabled LED light. And for $20, That's really quite a deal. Now, it's just the white LED bulb, so that means it's not going to do pretty colors or anything like that. But when it comes to being Wi-Fi connected at $20, that's a pretty good price. That means, again, that you're going to get that in and out of home connectivity, and you're going to get that quick responsive nature because of the fact that it's connected over Wi-Fi, whereas Bluetooth LE will sometimes lag as it tries to make the connection, because Bluetooth LE is kind of, I don't know how to describe it other than to say it's, you know, sipping power. And so it's only, you know, communicating whenever it's necessary. And then it, you know, goes sort of still whenever it's not. So that way you're saving as much power as possible. And that's where it's good for devices where you don't plug it in somewhere. But for a bulb, you know, it's in the outlet, it's plugged into the wall, and for it to just sip whatever power it needs for that little Wi-Fi chip that's inside, I think is worth the price to have that instant on, instant off, and then maybe dimming possibility.
And so are there any other sort of, besides Hue, any other lights that you would recommend at that price point?
Well, Lifix tends to be a little bit more pricey, but when I think about, when someone asks me, you know, what the recommendation is for going with smart lighting, I either say Philips Hue or I say Lifix. And the reason is they're both, I feel, premium products. Again, they're both Wi-Fi connected, and they both work quite well in terms of offering that responsiveness. They also have several different products in the lineup, and Lifix runs a lot of deals, so you can typically find something well within your price point on Amazon or on their site to save money on those goodies, because Lifix actually ends up outdoing Hue in some of the different specifications, including, and I feel is most important, the lumen output. So for folks who don't know, lumen output is just how bright the light actually is. And that is a bit of a simplification. So please don't hit me with too much pedantry there. But the brighter, or the higher the lumen value, the brighter the light's going to be. And that is important, I think, if you, again, are switching out normal lighting for smart lighting. A lot of times, to save cost, and because of all the other stuff that they pack into the light, they end up sort of decreasing the brightness. You don't get as good of a light. And I don't like having to do that. I don't like having to compromise there. So Lifix does a really good job of making sure that compromise isn't there. And like I said, they're always running deals on products. And so you can usually find a pretty good deal for a Lifix bulb. And the Lifix bulb, another way to save money is because you get a single bulb and it connects directly to Wi-Fi, as opposed to connecting to a hub, requiring you to buy a hub or bridge as well as the product.
Right. That's an important thing that I think most people know, but just in case, don't just buy one Hue light.
Yes, please.
Or don't just buy them 10 Hue lights, because they won't be able to do anything with them.
How do I use these? Unless you get them like an Amazon Echo that has the necessary, the Echo Pro can control your Hue lights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is it the Echo Plus?
Or Plus, yes, not Pro Plus.
Yeah, and even that is not, I mean, if you're just getting started, if you're, you know, don't hand this over to someone who's uncomfortable.
Amen.
It's hard to use the Echo Plus to set up the Hue lights.
I just actually had this similar conversation about what is our responsibility as gift givers when it comes to giving someone a smart home product, or really any tech product, about knowing sort of the privacy policy for one, and explaining that to someone, you know, hey, if you have this Amazon Echo in your house, here's what data is captured, here's what data isn't. And then also sort of letting them know what all the device can do, what it can't do. You know, sometimes I think that we tend to just dump off these things on folks and don't necessarily consider the follow-up that goes with that. Mm-hmm. So that's always something to consider when you're gift giving, how much tech support you want to offer and what you should let someone know versus what you shouldn't. Or I shouldn't say what you shouldn't, but like what you should let someone know versus what they may already know.
Exactly. I mean, I just heard of someone that last holiday season, they, you know, their uncle gave everybody a Echo Dot, you know, because they were like $20 and on, you know, Prime Day or whatever. And, mm-hmm. you know, and they, she still had it in the box. She wouldn't take it out. So it's like, explain, but also, I mean, make sure to explain away the paranoia. Like, it's not
yes.
always listening to you.
They're, right. You know, yes. Exactly.
Like,
I
yes.
love that. Yeah.
You've got to.
So knowing the sort of overall, what is it, the word I'm looking for, narrative that's out there, mm-hmm. and helping to explain what's true and what's false in that. So that, yeah, if it's based in paranoia, then you can help them with that. If it's based in ignorance, and I don't mean that in the negative sense of the term, but just simply not knowing, then you can help them with that. Because, yeah, otherwise they're going to think, oh, this person gave me this device that's listening to me always. Mm-hmm. And whether, you know, it's doing that or not, that's something that you need to talk about. So I like that we need to be aware of that. Yeah, for sure.
And make sure people know they can return it. I mean, it just breaks my heart to think about how many devices are just sitting in closets, not used
yeah.
by anyone, just sort of a waste. So, okay. So let's say you do want to introduce the person on your list to Hue lights. You recommend the starter kit, which can be range all different prices. Right now it looks like it's $70. Talk a little bit about this.
Oh, which one? Yeah, that one. So I was like, if it's $70, everybody go there right the heck now and get it.
This is just white bulbs? Is that what
Yeah, the white bulbs. Yeah. Okay. So the reason why that's so inexpensive is because it is just the Philips Hue white bulbs. Honestly, you end up, so if you go for Philips Hue, it is an investment in the beginning. But once you've made the investment, once you have the Hue Bridge, then it becomes less expensive because you can just buy bulbs individually. And I noticed that Hue's site itself often has better deals on its bulbs than even Amazon will offer at times. So that's just a pro tip. If you're looking to increase your bulbage, then you can head to the Philips Hue site sometimes and save money that way. I ended up getting too many just Philips Hue white bulbs. And so I have some that I don't even have places to put them right now. But it consistently is the most, not trustworthy, that's not the word I'm looking for. It is consistently the most reliable smart home system that I have. It is consistently updated. It is consistently adding new products and it consistently works without fail. I have not had any issues since I switched to the new Hue Bridge a long time ago, whenever they added HomeKit capability, I've not had any issues. The former bridge was a little bit issue prone, but the new one I've had no issues with. About the only place where I suggest not, if you're going to, you know, make the investment, about the only place where I suggest not going with the Hue product is the Hue, what is it called? The strip, the smart strip.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of sad because while it's nice, it's made by Philips Hue. It's got a nice sticky back. It, you know, you can put it wherever you want. It's one color across the whole doggone strip. Mm-hmm. And Lifex makes a similarly priced one that has 16 zones of color. So one light strip can put out 16 different, blends of color all across the strip. And I just think Philips Hue needs to get on its, I don't know, just get with it, get with the program, because only being able to do one light color, like the whole point of a strip, I feel, is to be able to paint with color and to add, you know, some sort of accent to your setup or wherever you happen to have it. And in fact, behind me, I do have my Lifex switch. So let me see, or my Lifex strip. And I will go ahead and turn it on here. And it, again, like having those 16 colors means that I can do fun things where I've got, you know, this blue and purple, and it moves along those different colors as it goes. So for listeners, I apologize that you can't see this, but it's fun. And it's like, if I'm going to buy a light strip as opposed to bulbs, then that's what I want to be able to do with it. Whereas bulbs are sort of more used to light things up. I feel that the strip is more about adding accent colors to your home. And the fun thing too, is that the Lifex does different themes based on holidays. So they've got like a festive theme that's green and red, that adds a nice little bit of a festivity to your home. And yeah, the extension strips as well are really well priced. And so you can add multiple to those. So whether you decide to put this behind your television, or in my case, behind the dresser that sits behind me, or, you know, somewhere around your entertainment center or along the underneath of your cabinets or what have you, you can see those festive colors now. Ho, ho, ho. It is a really, 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 really nice product that has worked well for me.
Yeah, I'm seeing all different prices for the light strip. This one is $30, but it must be, this is just the...
I think that's, what does that say? Is it the Philips Hue light strip extension?
Yeah. Oh, okay, so it's just to extend it. So if you have them many different ones, could they be different colors? Or is it all, like if you...
No, once you plug it in, it's you send one communication to it and it changes the color to it.
So it'd be like Melania Trump's Christmas tree. It's like all red.
All red, yeah. Yes.
So, I mean, if that's the look you're going for, then.
Yes. And if you're using it, I think, as bias lighting, then it makes sense. But that's a ridiculous investment for bias lighting. You might as well just get those inexpensive where it's like a USB on one end. You plug it into the back of your television and it adds light to it. The cost of the Philips Hue Light Strip Plus does not outweigh doesn't add up to the benefits that you get from it versus the LifeX one. Mm-hmm. There are other light strips from other companies out there, but genuinely, if you're going to go with one, either go with the Hue or the LifeX. I've not seen any that have compared in terms of brightness, in terms of functionality, and in terms of reliability. And yeah, it looks like it's $70 right now, is that what that says, with free shipping?
Nice.
$90. Okay. Yeah. $90 right now with free shipping. And yeah, you've got 2 meters and 16 different zones of color, and it works with all of the different smart assistants. So it's a fun product. And I really do think this isn't for a beginner, unless they're just like, they've got a good amount of money, or you've got a good amount of money and you don't care and you just want to get them this. Like, this is sort of, I think, one of those products that you add later, because honestly, there's no point to the fact that I have green, gold, and red lights moving behind me. There's no point to have that, but it's fun. It's different, and it adds some, change up to my setup. But yeah, ultimately, nobody really needs that. So start with the bulbs and the plugs if you're gonna go, you know, getting somebody a smart home thing to start out.
Okay. Before we move on to more advanced, more expensive stuff, do you have anything else?
Nope, I think that'll do it for now.
Good. Well, I'm getting lots of people in the chat room saying, like, this was this price at this time. So I think the best thing, I use the Honey browser. I use Camel. I follow Wirecutter Deals on Twitter. Is there any other place? Because I think that's the thing. Once you decide what you're going to get, then do, you know, wait a little bit to compare prices and make sure you're buying it from the
Absolutely.
Right place.
I mean, that's the thing, is that these companies are always doing deals. And in fact, I recommend add some of these products to, this was a thing that my colleague Lori Gill just recommended, add these products to your Amazon cart and check back every once in a while, because Amazon always puts a little notification at the top of your cart that says, hey, we want to let you know, and it'll show you the price has gone up or the price has gone down. And that way you can see whenever there are deals available for these products. And I'm talking about Amazon specifically, because that's usually the place to find deals. But again, head to Hue's website. I think that's meethue.com to see if they've got deals there. And then also to LifeX's website to see if they've got deals there. I do want to touch on something. Scooter X in the chat room was talking about how the Light Strip Plus can do any color. And I want to be clear about what I was talking about there. The Light Strip, the Philips Hue Light Strip Plus, can do any color along the spectrum. So that's millions of colors, but it does that same color across the whole strip versus the LifeX Z, which is behind me, where it can do all the same millions of colors, but it can do it across 16 zones on the same strip. So that's the difference between the two. Yes, you'll get every color. It's not just a white or blue or gold color on the Philips Hue, but it doesn't let you vary across, because essentially what's built into these strips are a bunch of tiny LEDs of different colors, and then they can light up to make a specific color. And So you'd think that they'd be able to let you control those, you know, even up to individually each of those LEDs. But on the Philips Hue strip, it's not possible. And on the LIFX, it does it across 16 zones, although I'm sure there are more than 16 LEDs within the strip.
All right, we're going to get to more advanced stuff that Micah recommends, a little more expensive. Maybe he'll tell me a better way to protect my liquor cabinet from the in my home. But before we get to that, I want to take a minute to thank our sponsor, ExpressVPN. There have been so many breaches lately. I mean, we all have breach fatigue. Even this past weekend with the Starwood breach, it's just exhausting to wonder where your data is going. You're buying lots of stuff online. You're making purchases. You're just looking at your email could put your private information at risk. You're being tracked online by social media sites, marketing companies, and your internet provider. I don't mean to just scare you to death, but just want to protect you a little bit. You can use ExpressVPN. That's what I do. And I use it on all my devices. Easy to use apps on everything. It runs seamlessly in the background of your computer or your phone or your tablet. You don't even have to think about it. You turn it on with one click. You set it and forget it, as they say. Secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data and hiding your public IP address. You can safely surf on public Wi-Fi. You don't have to worry about having your personal data stolen. ExpressVPN is rated the number one VPN service by TechRadar, and it comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That money is only $7 a month, so that's not very much. If you don't want to hand over your online history to your internet provider or data resellers, ExpressVPN is the answer. We're constantly getting questions about what's the best VPN to use. You should check out ExpressVPN. Protect your online activity today. Find out how you can get 3 extra months free with a 1-year package at expressvpn.com/iOS today. That's expressvpn.com/iOS today for 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/iOS today to learn more. And we thank ExpressVPN for their support of iOS today. All right, smart home part two. Let's get to the advanced stuff. You know, someone they're beyond the dabbling phase. They're in it to win it. So what would you, what are some of your recommendations?
Yeah, so I do want to be clear about something. Not a whole lot of the stuff costs more money than the beginner stuff. It's just that these devices are how you add on to your smart home, how you improve your smart home, and how you take a how you take a smart home from, ooh, look, I can turn on and off the lights from my phone, to I'm actually getting this whole thing to work for me. So one of the products that I want to talk about, and you have to have a Philips Hue bridge to start off. So this is once you've made the investment in Philips Hue, but once you have, know that this product works not just with Philips Hue lights, but can work within your HomeKit setup as well to control lots of things. I am the biggest fan of the Philips Hue motion sensor. The Philips Hue motion sensor is a tiny, tiny little device that you can put up anywhere. You can see that this person is putting theirs in their spice cabinet. And it detects motion better than any other motion detector that I've used or played with. It also has a built-in ambient light sensor, and it also has a built-in temperature sensor. That was something that wasn't originally available when the Philips Hue Motion first launched, but they have since made available. It's kind of like a hidden thing that nobody knew about. But yeah, it's got a temperature sensor built in as well. So this is kind of a multi-sensor device that you can add to your home to do all sorts of things. I'm going to describe where I use mine. So the Philips Hue motion sensor was created for transitional spaces. You can think of transitional spaces like your garage, or maybe the area between your garage and your main house, a hallway, a staircase, one of these spaces where you're not hanging out, you're just moving between two areas. I have a Philips Hue motion sensor set up in my hallway. And anytime I walk down the hallway on one side or the other, it detects my motion, turns on the hallway light, and that way I can see where I'm going. It happens instantly. That means that no one, even people who don't live at my house, who maybe have like come to visit for the first time, their brains don't even get a chance to go, oh, I need to turn on the hallway light switch, because that's how quick the motion sensor is. It turns on the light, and then while it's detecting motion, it keeps the light on. And then after there's no motion detected, I think it's like 5 seconds, then it dims and then it shuts off. What's better is you can also set it up to, depending on what time, do different types of lighting. So after a certain hour at night, it will actually come on at a very dim light in the hallway, meaning that it's not going to, you know, wake up a partner or rouse the dogs too much. I mean, they're probably going to wake up, but rouse the dogs too much or blast your eyes whenever you're just trying to, you know, get up to use the restroom or get a drink of water or something like that. It just turns on at that lower brightness and then turns off again. Now, they have since improved, they being Philips Hue, has since improved the possibilities for the motion sensor via the Hue Labs. And so you don't just have to use it for transitional spaces. There are ways now to set it so that only at certain times, or only when certain conditions are met, will it actually trigger via the motion. The reason that I love this product so much is because of its responsiveness. Again, not only can it be like pitch black and it still senses my motion somehow by some miracle, but it, oh God, there's that gif of me. But it also works instantly and immediately. I've never, ever had a delay of this device. Every time I walk down my hallway, it turns on if it's supposed to and turns off whenever I leave, and it does it instantly. And that's what you want from a motion sensor, because again, right there on my wall in the hallway is a switch to turn on and off the hallway light. And so if someone comes, I don't have to say, oh, hey, please don't touch that switch. It has to stay on. I need it to stay on. I don't have to worry about that, because before their brain even goes to the switch, the light's already turned on. And the last thing that I'll say about it before we sort of discuss things is that with that light sensor built in, it also means that during the day, if there's enough light in the hallway, which you set the, you know, the lumen value or the lux value, it will not turn on the hallway light if it knows that there's enough light for you to see by. So it's just like a brilliant product. They thought of everything with it, and its responsiveness makes it so worthwhile. And now that it's added HomeKit possibilities, you can also use it to trigger all sorts of other things as well. So you pair that really good responsive connection with any of your smart home gadgets in your home, if you've got the proper setup, and suddenly it's working instantly, it's working reliably, and it really just makes your smart home do the work for you, as opposed to you having to do the work.
Yeah, there's a few things, I mean, that you point out that are just really some of the pain points. That turning on and off the switch, like, that's a pain point for anyone who lives with someone who prefers the switch, because then once they adjust it, like you said, then, you know, it's not going to work. So just getting there before they can get to the switch, that's key. I like how it mounts on the wall, but, like, you don't have to, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with electricity. You don't have to set up anything. You just put it up.
And it even mounts on a pivot. So, like, it's like a ball magnet, and so you can move it around. You can angle it however you want. And so mine is, I keep looking up because I can see the hallway from here. It mounts up and in the corner of my hallway, and I just have it angled down a little bit so that it faces down and sees me. Or sees whomever. Yeah, so there you can see it screws in, the thing screws into the wall. That's the magnet part. And then there's sort of a ball shape on the back of the motion sensor. And so it magnets to that, and then you can adjust it however you need to. And again, I've even found, even if it was facing just straight out as opposed to angling it, it would still capture motion. It works. So I'm genuinely a little flabbergasted sometimes, because you'd think, like, this tiny little, not too expensive device would just be sort of a throwaway add-on to the home, but it genuinely is one of my favorite products that I have in my house.
And how much is this around?
Oh, golly. I think when I got it, it was $30, but it might be, maybe they've noticed how, okay, $40 right now on Hue's site.
Okay.
I think I got it for a deal on Amazon. but yeah, it looks like it's about $40. You can get it for $10 off sometimes, which is how much I got it for. But I have to say, if you've got a Philips Hue setup, or even just you've got to have the bridge. Mm-hmm. So as long as you've got the bridge, for $40, I think it's well worth it. If you are, you know, trying to make your smart home work for you as opposed to you controlling your smart home. If you want it to just do its thing and you don't have to think about anything, then I think it's well worth the $40 price.
Yeah, and the time, just setting up these things is so, it takes a little bit of time, but it's, you think about how much.
Yeah, the investment money there for the time. Yeah, so that's the one thing about smart home stuff that I think folks may not get at the beginning or aren't quite sure about. And that's why I think there's a huge difference between the start of your smart home and sort of that's kind of just the woohoo, look what I can do with my magical wand versus, and I'm not belittling that. I think like I was that, I had a lot of fun doing that. But to take a smart home from just this fun spectacle to actually a smart home that's automated and does things for you, that requires investment of both time, energy, and money, because you also want to start adding devices that actually go into your wall. And that's something that I would like to talk about as well. Those are going to involve a little bit more work, but by golly, they're worth it.
Yeah. So have you tried the new Philips Hue mirror, lighted mirror? Have you seen that?
I have not heard of this. No.
It's new. And they I interviewed the co-creator of Hue, and they offered to send me one, but it would, you know, it was going to be a loaner that I would return. So I have to consider if I'm going to like take the mirror off my bathroom and install it.
Right.
If this is something that I'm going to return after. But I wondered if you had tried it. Yeah. Cause it's, there it is. It's the,
a door lighted vanity mirror.
That's it. Yeah. It's $250. And the way they explained it is that it has this certain kind of light by the, you know, the right time, like at, you know, in the morning, you need a certain amount of light, and you don't want to like walk in your bathroom in the middle of the night and have that bright light. So like it could, you know, it was the correct light for the correct time or whatever you're doing. So
now, is that all it does? It just sort of has lighting for you?
Yes, that's it's a mirror.
You're true. It shows your reflection and it lights up.
Right.
I've seen those at Walgreens and they're like $5. No, I'm kidding. Sorry, Philips Hue. I love you. I would want like, I don't know, at least the time available on the doggone thing or something.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd want to be able to like, use the screen as an iPad screen, like sci-fi movies. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Put me in a sci-fi movie. Sci-fi? I don't know what that means. Sci-fi movie, doggone it.
All right. So what's next? The Eve button, is that?
I will talk about that, but there is something that I did not link you up to. I'm sorry. So I'll give a good preamble while you search it up. It's the Lutron Caseta smart lighting system. So Lutron makes this brilliant, and this is another bridge product, but Lutron makes this brilliant set of dimmers and light switches for the home, and the Lutron Caseta devices work with Apple HomeKit, work with Alexa, and work with the Google Assistant. What you do is you set up your bridge, and then you got to go DIY. You flip off the breakers, you take out your light switch, and then you connect, you know, you connect all the wires with wire nuts and all that jazz, and then screw it in, and you've got this, I think, really beautiful looking set of toggles that you can power at the light switch. You know, you can control them at the light switch, turn on and off or dim depending on which one you have. But then you can also use your smart home stuff, so your voice or your app or what have you, to control them as well. And I've got quite a few of these set up all around my home. Some of them, so I've got some places where I've got just a switch that controlled the fan. And so obviously that can't run on a dimmer because it needs to have a certain amount of power. So it just needs to be on or off. So I've got a Lutron Caseta switch that just does on and off. And then for many of my lights, I've got the dimmer that will turn it all the way on, off, or somewhere in between. Now, the brilliance of this is not only the fact that it feels more permanent and you feel like it's actually part of the home, and also that it's Wi-Fi controlled, so that's great. But the brilliance of this, I think, is that there's no worry about telling people, oh no, please don't use the switch, it's going to turn it off and then I'm not going to be able to use it. The switch itself is part of the whole thing. And so even if they turn off the light, I can still control via Wi-Fi, you know, on my phone or using my voice or what have you, those lights. The switch isn't going to turn off the access to the Wi-Fi because that's built into the actual unit that you stick into the wall. So it, I feel it's one of the ways to get the best of both worlds use. And that's, I think, what makes it advanced is the fact that it sort of makes it a little bit easier to convince folks, but also is advanced because you do have to do some work of your own. Or I like, you could hire somebody to, you know, an electrician to come in and set it up. And I think that the important thing to note here, folks, is if you're going to do this, know a thing or two about, you know, setting up electrical devices, which luckily growing up, I learned a lot about because my grandparents flipped houses, because some of these switches require a neutral neutral wire, and some of them do not. And some homes, depending on the age of your home, may have a neutral wire or may not. And you need to make sure you're turning on and off the right. I mean, there's so many caveats here, obviously. Because you're taking things off the wall and playing, not playing, but, you know, interacting with electrical equipment, just be safe and not sorry. And make sure that you know what you're doing, or that you get somebody who knows what they're doing to set these up. But if you do know what you're doing, I found it to be a lot of fun to get these set up and to sort of, I ended up sort of learning that the electrician who put together the stuff in this house did some rather questionable things whenever they set things up. So that was fun to learn and you know, fix and make sure that things were how they needed to be to make everything work properly. And then also, depending on the unit that you buy, it comes with a wireless switch that you can put elsewhere in your home to control the lights. So it's got the one on the wall, but then it's also got another little remote that you can, you know, place wherever you want to. So my kitchen, for example, the actual outlet to the kitchen, or not outlet, but the switch to the kitchen is on one side of the bar that runs between the kitchen and the dining room. And so when I'm in the kitchen, I am all the way on the other side and like have to reach across in order to turn on that switch, or at least I used to. Now I've got that other remote set up in the kitchen, so I can just pop, hit that button no matter where I am, and I don't have to, you know, reach for it. So it's really handy. And then Lutron Caseta, the bridge works with several other smart home or at least wireless gadgets, including the Sonos system. So you can actually use it to control volume of your Sonos system, and I think play and pause as well. So it's kind of a handy thing if you are, you know, it, depending on whether you want it to be part of your home kit setup or you want it to just be an individual thing. The Lutron Caseta is, it's been a nice addition to the home, but it is a more expensive investment to make in order to take use all of those different products. So the bridge itself is like $100. I think that they must be updating their bridge because it's available on Amazon. You can get one whole system. So you get one light, one remote, and then the bridge for about $78. So that's not a bad price if instead of, you know, setting up a bunch of Wi-Fi connected or Hue bulbs throughout your home, you want to try this way where it seems more like the old school setup, but you also get the smart home additions to it as well.
And if you don't feel comfortable setting this stuff up, it's still less expensive to like pay someone to set it up than it would be the systems that used to be in the past that were like, you know, really high end.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And then they ended up not even working as well. Yeah. Those really high end systems that just like, I don't know. I've had some family friends who have had those whole things set up, and it's like, I can do so much more with my modern system than you were able to do with that. And they're like still paying for it. It's ridiculous. Right. Yeah. So hire somebody if you don't know what you're doing there. But if you do, you love doing DIY stuff, it is a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun getting it set up, and it's a nice addition. And again, it's Wi-Fi connected via the bridge, so it's very reliable connection as well.
I know you have more stuff, more advanced stuff that is not cheap, but inexpensive still. but before we get to that, I want to thank the sponsor of this show, Rocket Mortgage. It's interesting that we're talking about all this house stuff because like this is also going to add value to your house, adding all this smart home stuff. And it's nice also to look, maybe you'll find a house out there that Maybe you will buy Micah's house someday and it's all set up. I would love to buy it. It's already set up for you. And you want to be ready to buy Micah's house when you see it. You want to have everything set, and you can do that with Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Because of rising interest rates, there's lots of unpredictability when it comes to buying a home these days. It's causing a lot of anxiety all around. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something to try to ease that anxiety. They're calling it the power buying process. Here's how it works. Step one, you answer a few simple questions, and then they will use the answers to those questions and check your credit for pre-qualified approval. Step two, Quicken Loans will verify your income, your assets, and credit in less than 24 hours to give you a verified approval, which gives you the strength of a cash buyer. Step three, once you're verified, you qualify for their all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, they'll lock up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop around for a house. And here's the best part. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate also goes down. Either way, you win. It's the kind of thinking you'd expect from America's largest mortgage lender. To get started, all you have to do is go to rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. Rate Shield approval is only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. That's rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support of this show. All right, what's next, Micah? What do you have next for us?
All right, next I'd like to talk about this little dealie right here. This is the Eve button, and this is a fun little gadget that it's. I'm sort of talking about a group of gadgets. Any sort of button or switch that you can add to your smart home, I feel is a good addition for multiple reasons. One is that, again, when it seems like most of the time as a sort of advanced smart home user, I'm thinking about how to make it easier for folks who are not smart home savvy to be able to control a smart home. And these buttons are one way of doing that, but they also are time savers. I'm speaking specifically again of HomeKit because I want to talk about the way that it's set up within HomeKit. The Eve button, for example, can do a single press, a double press, and a long press. And those three different button presses can do three different things in your home. So you can set it up to just control one switch. You can set it up to control an entire scene. You can set it up for many different things. So for example, this Eve button it sits in my master bedroom, and one button press turns on the overhead light, which is connected to an Eve light switch that's in wall, and my Philips Hue lights on 100% direct sunlight in terms of color temperature. And there are two of those in the room. Pressing it twice turns all of those lights off. And then holding it down turns off the overhead light and turns on the Philips Hue lights at a very dim red color. So that's like right before bed when I'm sort of might still be up, might be reading or something like that. I don't want to have blue light shining into my eyes. And I want it to be, for folks who don't know, blue light, the waves are very energetic. They reach a lot farther, and red light is less energetic and does not reach as far. And so that's why a lot of times you'll see night lights and things like that use a warmer color because it's going to reach less far across, or sometimes notification lights on different devices, and old school alarms at least did red letters because they wouldn't shine all the way out and sort of blind you. Although some of the modern ones are blue and it's annoying. But anyway, that's a little off topic. So I do have it turn on as red, and that way it's sort of just a winding down period. The Logitech Pop is another one of these switch buttons, and it offers the same functionality, the one, two, and hold. And this was the first one that I got of the buttons, and it did change the way that I interacted with my smart home. It's currently set up in my office, and one button press turns on all of the lights in my office. two button presses turns off all the lights in my office. And if I hold it down, it turns off the studio lights that I have set up that I just use whenever I'm doing a video podcast. So that way, when I come into the room and I know I'm not about to like sit down to do a podcast, I hit the button once and then I hold down afterward and it shuts off those studio lights so that it's just my normal lighting setup that's in here. So it's a time saver, but it is also a physical manifestation of smart home control so that when folks come to visit, they aren't saying, oh, wait, I have to get invited to your smart home like via my phone, or I have to talk to one of these things to be able to do it. It's, yeah, it's not necessarily ideal to have to control your smart home or have someone else control your smart home using those methods. And this gives you a nice place where they can go, okay, this is normal. I just go to the wall and turn these on and off. I also will talk about the Philips Hue dimmer switch, which just got HomeKit compatibility not too long ago. And so I don't use it at all for its original intention. The Philips Hue dimmer switch, it's four buttons, and the top button turns on your Philips Hue lights, the bottom button turns off your Philips Hue lights, and then the two in the middle can brighten or dim the lights. And that's how it's originally set up. But if you add it to your HomeKit setup, then each of those four buttons can do something in your home. And so I have one at my front door, right to the right of my front door as I walk in. And the top light turns on all of the lights in my living room, dining room, and kitchen. The bottom light turns off all of the lights in that same area and just turns on a night light. And then the middle two lights, the bottom one of the middle two, turns them on at a very dim thing just in my living room. And the top one turns on just the lights in my living room. So that seems kind of confusing, but once you get used to what those button presses do, it makes it very easy to do a whole bunch with just one tap versus having to say, hey, you know who, can you turn on this light? Hey, you know who, can you turn on that light? You know, those all have to be done step by step, or you set up a scene within your app and then trigger it that way. This just makes it as simple as just pressing a button, which a lot of people are used to doing. So I feel that this is one way that you can advance your smart home and add so many shortcuts in one single device. It's very handy.
Does the Logitech Pop work with HomeKit?
Yes. Yeah. The Logitech Pop, the Eve Home or the Eve Button, and the Philips Hue dimmer all work with HomeKit. They all independently work with other things as well, in particular, the Logitech Pop. So if you set it up via the app as opposed to setting it up with HomeKit, Logitech has made lots of different, you know, over the internet connections with different partners that it works with. So I think you can control like your Sonos sound system and things like that. But for me, it works better as the local network control that I use with HomeKit.
Those are some really great suggestions. Did we miss anything? Is that everything?
No, I think that's going to cover it. Typically, I would recommend a camera of some sort. But that's one. The thing with that is that it's really going to depend on. I found that it's more a novelty than anything else. Mm-hmm. That it hasn't really been too incredibly helpful to have the camera. It's nice if I ever need to have an in-home camera. It's nice to have if I ever need to leave the house for a little bit and can just check to make sure the dogs are okay. But for the most part, I think it's only just made me more paranoid to have a camera that faces the outside of the house. I have the Logitech Circle 360, I think it's called, or Logitech 360. They've changed the name, but it's a very, very, very nice camera that does work with Apple HomeKit, and I enjoy having it. But like I said, for the most part, you know, when I'm gone from the house, it sends me notifications of movement, and it's just like, why do I need that? Because it's facing out, so it probably is just seeing someone walk in their yard or something like that. So I think that's one of those things that you need to balance. If you're kind of like an anxious person, keep that in mind whenever you're getting one of these products, that it could have you sort of wasting time that you could be spending with others, checking your house and making sure that everything's okay. But if you have need for something like that, then I recommend the Logitech camera because it has worked flawlessly for me as well and integrates really well with HomeKit. Whereas some of the other HomeKit-enabled cameras I haven't had great luck with. And then the Nest camera, which doesn't work with HomeKit, is also a great choice. It's, you know, premium hardware and the system is reliable. And I think they've got one of the best internet portals for accessing your Nest camera when you're away. Mm-hmm. And so I've just got the original one, and now, yeah, they've got three others that they've added since, and it works quite well. So yeah, if you think that that's right for you, or if you're just okay with sort of being paranoid about every motion detection, then you can snag a camera to add to your smart home. But for the most part, I haven't found that it's worth it.
Yeah. I like the Wyze Cam and the Wyze Cam Pan. I think we might have talked about those.
Really yeah, nice. The Pan. Oh, yeah, my. That's cool.
They don't work cool. with HomeKit. And they sort of work with Amazon Echo in a vague way. I mean, you can, like, cast them to your TV if you want to. But they're just that's a nice little stocking stuffer for $30. But, again, probably check to make sure the person wants a camera before you give them something that's going to end up staying in the box and not being used. So let's talk about a little bit of news. I think the biggest, most shocking news for me of last week was that
goat Apple, yoga.
The goat yoga was the most shocking news of last month.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
That Apple is allowing Apple Music on Amazon Echo devices. Now, do you have any Echo? Do you use Echo devices?
I've got everything, okay, Megan. Good. I'm ridiculous. Okay. I've got a Google Home. I've got three Echoes. I've like an Amazon Echo, an Amazon Echo Spot, an Amazon Echo Dot. I'm ridiculous. And a HomePod, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, this is interesting. So Amazon and Apple have made up, and the Apple TV and other Apple products are now available for purchase on Amazon's website. Ultimately, it just means that there's going to be one more possibility for folks to listen to music on the Amazon Echo. And when you think about it, the HomePod is quite the investment, and Apple is selling that as the, you know, the Apple Music speaker. But for folks who might have an Apple Music subscription because they have an iPhone and were lured into getting an Apple Music subscription, I just know so many folks have Amazon Echoes. So I see this as being a really good thing for Apple and Amazon both, because folks who have an Apple Music subscription, they may be more likely now to want to add some sort of smart speaker to their home. The Amazon Echo is a good price, and you know, their friend from Margarita Night has one, and their son or daughter has one, so they know that they'll be able to use it and work with it. Now they get Apple Music on it. But then it's also good for Apple, because I'm certain that in the way that you can you know, set up your Spotify or your Amazon Music subscription or whatever. I mean, there are a bunch of different ones out there, but now it could mean more Apple Music subscribers are added because the Amazon Echo has made it possible. So this is just, I think it's a good deal for everybody, and I'm happy that it's available. The one thing that concerns me, because I at first was pretty bullish about this, and just bear with me here while I explain. I use my Amazon Echo to play music for my dogs when I'm away. Now, let me finish. I don't just play music for my dogs because I think that they can hear it and enjoy it. I play music because they are very sensitive to outside noises. And so when kids are walking home from school, you know, to their houses from the bus, or especially when a delivery truck drives by and that honk sound, like when they're backing up, makes it, they get pretty upset. And all I think about is, like, while I'm away to the store or something, one of them gets anxious because somebody outside is walking along, and then they, like, try to jump off of the couch and break their leg or something. It's probably not going to happen, but when you are a pet owner, it just is what you are thinking about. And so I play that music, it just at a quiet volume, but it drowns out a lot of that noise that's, like, way further out into the street. So I typically play some sort of music while I'm away. And right now, my Amazon Echo is set up with my Spotify subscription, because yes, I'm also ridiculous and have both a Spotify subscription and an Apple Music subscription.
Me too.
I don't know why. Oh, good. Thank you for joining me in this club of ridiculousness.
Well, it's a new thing. I mean, I hate to interrupt you, but I'm going to let you finish.
Bye.
Because I was just getting it to play on my all my Amazon Echo things, and if you think about it, it's not that much money to have both. So, but go ahead.
No, it's not, and this is why I'm a little about having Apple Music on the Echo. When you play Apple Music on a device and then you go to play it on another device, you don't get to play it in both places. And the same thing goes for Spotify. You're not able to play it in a bunch of places at once. Mm. You can. So let me be clear, because I'm sure someone's like, no, you can't. If you are streaming to multiple devices at once, that works. But you can't have like two separate songs playing in two different places. And so at first I was like, oh yeah, that'll be great. I'll use Apple Music to play whatever album I want to play for the dogs. But I also listen to Apple Music when I'm in my car. And so that means that it's going to stop playing on the Amazon Echo, and I won't be able to play what I want to listen to from my car. So I think that, you know, as I'm sort of making excuses for why I spend more money every month than I should, it makes sense that I have Spotify in one place and Apple Music in the other, because then that could keep playing while I'm gone and I can play whatever I want to listen to when I'm in the car. I wish that, Netflix lets you stream, if you pay for the $15 plan, I think you can stream four separate streams at once. I wish that these others would do that as well.
Well, you can get the Apple Family account. I mean, the Apple Music Family. Yeah, I have the 14.
That's true.
I already pay $14.99 because I have five family members who often listen at the same time. So you could do that. I mean, because
Henry and Mizzy would put in some money for that.
Yeah, they are. I mean, don't they get an allowance?
Yeah, they do. And unfortunately, it comes from me, though. So I guess it's just really my money.
Well, that's how allowance works, too.
Yeah, I'll have to work on that.
Kids without fur, it's the same thing. it comes from you.
Darn it. Ugh.
But yeah, that's a good point. But, you know, you could also use Amazon Echo. I mean, they play music on the Amazon Echo from Prime Music, and you don't have to subscribe to that, right?
Yeah, and that is an option as well. I think it's mostly just a bit of laziness that once I got the Spotify thing set up, I didn't want to go and switch it back to the free plan. Because now with me, if I'm listening to music, I'm listening from my phone streamed to either the HomePod or the Ultimate Ears Boom 3, I think it's called, UE Boom 3. And that's because I'm the only one in my house other than the dogs. And so I can be obnoxious and just listen to stuff out loud. But the Amazon Echo is not as good a speaker as the UE Boom 3 or the HomePod. And so I don't listen to it on that. But a while back, like when I had people over to the house more often, we would all use that device to sort of be the music streaming device. And so it made more sense to have something like Spotify, because I paid for it, so you could pick out a specific song. Whereas if you just have the free version of Amazon's music stuff, then it won't let you pick out specific songs. It's sort of like Pandora, where it plays, you know, radio stations or shuffles albums and things like that. So I just am lazy and haven't switched it back. And that's kind of kept me separate between the two. But also, it's only like $4.99 for just the Echo Music Unlimited plan, mm-hmm. which is cheaper than, than having Spotify and Apple Music if I was just using it for those reasons. But I've got multiple reasons why I have subscriptions to both. And mostly it's because Spotify does a really, really, really good job of finding music that I will like its discovery is so much better than Apple Music. But Apple Music is where, because of iTunes, is where all of the music that I have purchased and all of the music that I love and enjoy is saved in a library. So Spotify is like my DJ and Apple Music is my music library, and I have reason for both of them. So, ha.
Well, so why don't you let your dog? You don't like your dogs listening to ads? Is that an issue? Why
maybe that's it. No,
Spotify.
I don't know why I don't. Well, because the reason why I pay for Spotify again is because I do use Spotify from time to time when I just want to hit the play button and let me play all day and know that it's going to be good. Mm-hmm. If I try that with Apple Music, it goes into some really weird, it doesn't get me. It doesn't understand me, Megan. Apple Music doesn't understand me, but Spotify does. But the reason why I don't just have a free version on the Echo that the dogs can listen to, I don't know. I'm just lazy. And it's still connected to Spotify. So why go and change it back? I don't make sense.
That's okay. That's okay. Other Apple news, Apple posted on their press site a description of kind of where some of the money from Product Red goes to. You know, you've probably heard of Product Red. They sell Red iPhones and Red Apple Watches, and, you know, it's not just Apple products. It was started by Bono and Bonnie Shriver. And it's in honor of World AIDS Day, which was Saturday. This week, Apple is going to donate $1 from every purchase to Product Red. They're going to donate it to, and they've been doing lots of amazing stuff, not just for AIDS research, but for other diseases as well. And I tweeted this out, and someone was like, "Oh, a whole dollar?" And you know, it's like, obviously, it's just, my thing is like, just because you can't do everything doesn't mean you should do nothing. A dollar is a dollar, according to, you know, if it's a dollar from every Apple product, that's a lot of dollars. Yeah.
Yes. It's still a dollar. I mean, it, of course, we'd want to donate more if we could, or we'd want them to donate more. Yes, but it's a dollar. It's a dollar that would otherwise not be going there. So that's nice.
Right. Yeah, so it's tuberculosis and malaria. Those are the other diseases that support. And 160 million of the 200 million that Product Red has raised has come from the product sales. So that is good news. The other news, if you've been waiting to replace your iPhone battery, don't wait.
Do not sleep on this, folks.
January 1st.
Do not.
Yeah, so have you used their battery replacement program at all?
No, I need to encourage some family members to do so. I get a new phone every year because, again, I'm not good with money, apparently. So not a huge deal for me. My battery typically outlasts my need for it. But I have family members who, you know, stick with an iPhone for quite a period of time. And so I have actually sent out this link like, hey, here's exactly what you need to do. If you have any help, or if you need any help, ask me and I'll be glad to help you out with that. But yeah, don't sleep on this. Don't wait until the last minute. You know, just if you've got one that you can, you might as well go in and get a new battery if you can. It's going to extend the life of your device. It's probably going to make it run faster. It's like because of the way that the performance thing happens and all of that jazz, like it's just a good idea. And otherwise, you know, if you want to keep that phone for longer, you're going to be heading to like iFixit or something and spending what, $70 on a battery replacement and then finding somebody to replace it for you or replacing yourself, which is fun, but why not just have it done by Apple if you can? Might as well.
Yeah, if you can, might as well.
I was able to, I took advantage of, they had a long time ago, my former MacBook Pro, there was like a Retina display thing where it was, I can't remember, but the coding on the Retina display was getting bad. And mine wasn't terrible, but I was still within the warranty period. And so I sent it in and they replaced like almost all of the laptop was new whenever they sent it back. And it was like 3 days before my warranty was set to expire. So they're really like, and I know like 3 days is 3 days legally, but it still just kind of was like, wow, just they didn't just replace the screen. They pretty much sent me a new one and I'm sure they had to, but it just kind of felt cool that even though I was about out of the period, like it was pretty much a new device that they sent me for whatever reason. So yeah, take advantage of this. I mean, otherwise it's just money that you could have going to waste and device life that you could have going to waste. And at the very least, you could send it in to one of those companies that buys old devices and get more money out of it because the battery's not, you know, older or what have you.
Exactly. What do you do with your old phones once you upgrade?
Well, mine typically go back because I've done AT&T Next and then now the Apple upgrade program. So at the end of the 12 months, I send in the device and get the new one. So mine have almost always gone back. There have been a few times where I have kept it for whatever reason and then just sold it to like Gazelle or something just to go to whatever iPad or device I wanted to buy next. But for the most part, now that I when AT&T Next started, I did that and then switched over to the Apple upgrade program when it was available. So they send me a little thing and say, send in your device, and that's it goes away. I'm not an Apple historian like some of my colleagues tend to be, who have every iPhone probably three times over in every, you know, in every year iteration.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good that someone is using those phones.
Yes. Yeah. I'm happy they're not just sitting on a shelf and not getting any use.
Right. I'm happy also that we have those Apple historians that.
Yes. That. And that, you know, like if I ever want to see the iPhone 4G or what is it? The 4S in, you know, it's many different coatings, then I know I can head to Canada and hang out with my pal Rene Ritchie and he will show me all of the coatings. But I don't need that. I sent those devices off and somebody somewhere, you know, was able to use that device for a while and. Yeah, it was good.
Exactly. All right. Well, we are going to have our app caps. We're going to wear hats. We're going to talk about our favorite apps. But before we do that, I'm going to talk about my belt. I'm going to talk about our sponsor, Slide Belts. Slide Belts have ratchets in them and they make a wonderful noise. And that's why we love them. These are the ratchets. So that's the most important thing. That's the one that's the part that's going to make the wonderful noise. So you just slip it in there and then wait for it. That's how you tighten it. And it's so nice. They're Slide Belts by Brig Taylor. The holiday season is upon us. If you're stressed, trying to find a gift that your loved one will love and is guaranteed to fit, that's the important part. These are guaranteed to fit. Look no further than Slide Belts by Brig Taylor. Slide Belts are high-quality, comfortable ratchet belts that are easy to adjust. Their patented ratchet design adjusts precisely to you with 32 adjustment options and no holes. And this one was engraved with Twit. This is Leo's Twit belt. Easily remove the buckle and mix and match with other straps for ultimate customization and versatility. Choose from full grain and top grain leather straps to high quality canvas and animal friendly vegan straps. Slide belts can be worn casually around the house, at the office, for any special occasion. And because it's so easy to remove, it's a great travel belt, especially while going through security. Slide Belts also offers watches and swappable watch bands for ultimate customization. You gotta have your watch match your belt. Slide Belts offer a 1-year warranty, free exchanges, and no hassle returns. With everything ranging from unisex survival belts for adults to colorful belts for kids, you're sure to find the perfect belt for that special someone on your holiday list. There's women's belt, there's men's belt. Leo always talks about how this is a great gift for groomsmen. This is the survival belt. Have you seen this one, Micah, the survival belt?
No.
It has some really great things. It has a knife in it. And
I need it.
I know you do. I knew. And it has, this is a fire starter. A flashlight.
Oh, my goodness. No way. A yep. flashlight,
mm-hmm.
too?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I knew you would like this.
Want.
So, yeah, it has a bottle opener. It has basically everything in here. You could really do some damage with this. Burke is damaged.
Oh, and a bottle opener? See, yes. Sometimes I don't have a bottle opener.
Yeah.
I need one.
Yeah, bottle opener. It's all here. I mean, you never know when you're going to need to start a fire.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
Need one of these.
It's got 8 different things inside there, 8 different features. So make sure that you check out slidebelts.com/twit and use the offer code TWIT for 20% off your order. Skip the long shopping lines and give the gift that always fits. Go to slidebelts.com/twit and use the code TWIT at checkout to receive 20% off your order. And we thank Slide Belts for their support of iOS today. Are you ready to wear your hat?
Yes, okay. I am.
I too am ready to wear my hat. Oh, that's a good one. Is it cold enough to wear that outside right now?
It is. Yes, it's very chilly. It's a little warmer inside, so not quite appropriate. I'll probably start sweating, but it's like 20 degrees outside. So,
all right. So now you showed me this app this week, and I got super excited. Stickies. tell us about
Sticky AI. The app in the App Store is called Sticky AI. And the reason it's got the AI tag on it is because within the app, you can take a photo or you can hold down the button and take a short video. And then it will automatically cut out the background around the photo that you've taken. Mm. You can also use photos from your photo library and tap on them. Then it'll process a little bit and take out the background of those. But what I like is a lot of times that AI stuff just doesn't work 100%. So you can actually edit the edges of the photo very easy. And so you can go in and make adjustments to how the app has decided what the foreground and background is of the photo. And then it has filters as well. So you can sort of set up like a black and white filter, a colorful filter. It sort of makes you look like a watercolor, or you keep it standard. And then my favorite thing about it is that you can tap to add an outline around the outside of the photo. And that kind of just gives it that sticker feel. See, that's very cool. It's like the Take On Me video, my favorite. And then to save the photo, you just hit the X button and then it adds. Oh, yeah. And you can add text. I forgot you can add text. Mm-hmm. You can get pretty detailed with this thing. But once you save it, then it shows up in your iMessage app in the library. And you can always go back and edit it if you want to. And yeah, it's got things like pinch and zoom. But it's a really fun way. I like it because, you know, people are used to different stickers that are just, you know, animated animals or animated food, whatever. They're used to these stickers. But to actually, like, when you're talking to somebody, find a photo of them and then make it into a sticker and add it to the conversation, it is genuinely one of the greatest things. And I'm going to show you my favorite sticker of all time.
Okay.
My partner is going to be just distraught that I've decided to share this with you. But this is a photo of my partner, Luke, when he was a kid. And he's just like, he did not know how to smile as a kid. And so he's making the most ridiculous face. And so I end up sticking this on just so many conversations. It's just like, it's the perfect response to almost anything. Yeah. Like if I'm annoyed with something that's going on, I'll send this. It's great. So I made that into a sticker and now use that all the time. But I've got one of me like throwing a thumbs up and it's a little colorful and that one's kind of fun. And so I can use that if I, you know, I'm saying, oh, you want to go to the restaurant later, then I can just throw that thumbs up. And then I just made one of Megan.
Oh, you did?
Well,
the flower
earlier.
One, yes.
Yeah, the flower crown. I think this is, so I went to Twitter and downloaded Megan's Twitter avatar and then quickly made that one. And then stuck that on the conversation that we were having. So you can use it with people, you can use it with dogs. I used to have one of dogs. And yeah, you can set it up for all sorts of conversations. Here's another fun one that I have used at times for those of us who are a little immature.
That's good.
That one's great. Yeah, so it is called Sticky AI, and it's a fun, fast, and easy way to, if you have an iPhone or an iOS device, because it's available on the App Store, I just learned. So I'm going to start making my stickers there because I can use the Apple Pencil to do a better job of outlining photos whenever they are improperly sort of background removed. So yeah, check that out to troll your friends or your partners with their childhood photos. It's great. And you should get it. And it's free, which is ridiculous. It's free.
And it's from Prisma, which was, they were the, I was just made this one. This is, I want to terrify
that's
anyone.
Fun.
Yeah. Prisma was the one that they made the, those crazy, like filters.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They did. What was it?
I can't really terrifying.
Yeah. There we go. That's,
yeah. So, yeah, use it on the iPad and everything. And yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about this filter. It just sort of accentuates the wrinkles a little bit too much, I think. But thank you. Endless hours of entertainment with the sticky AI.
I mean, you have to troll your kids with it.
I hope
you will.
I have already.
You did.
I have
yes,
already.
Good.
Which I get the response my daughter gave was, Megan, what are you doing?
Oh, wow.
So, That's great. Yeah, exactly. My app cap of the week is a little bit different. This is a game that was sent to me by Hans. Oh, no, the game is by Hansborg Makesh. And it was recommended by Dan, and Dan is blind, and he recommended this game. So it's great to use with headphones. You don't have to be blind to use it, but it's a zombie game. He recommended it around Halloween, but it's really fun, and hopefully it will play.
Fear. Oh, the game of running blind.
So you're basically avoiding zombies and other people who jump at the ground from you. And you want to collect spirits, their lights, in a single run. So here I am. Let's start playing. I want to play. Okay, play. Play. There we go. So you can... It's really good sound. You can imagine just like closing your eyes.
Do you hear
playing.
The new sound? It's a power up. Try to collect it.
Oh, so it's stereo. It's like left and right.
Yes. Yeah, so like okay. If you were blind, you can hear. Oh, ah! Don't get eaten by the zombie. Yeah, you could hear that there was a zombie over there that I avoided. Ah, ah. Oh.
Oh no! Oh my. Oh. EG. At least.
Sorry, I didn't warn you. Yes, there is. There's even the sound is pretty gross because the zombies are gross.
Zombies are gross.
I haven't seen any spirits that I've gotten. Oh, I ran right into that one.
So I imagine it's got stereo separation. So if you're listening with headphones, you could know that it was on the left or right side. Is that the deal?
Right. So, okay. Yes. So I don't know how that works with people listening to this show. If they're listening on headphones, if they can... I don't know if this dongle is in stereo, but yes. Okay.
Why wasn't it letting you swipe?
I don't know. I guess I ran the wrong way. the smoke's now going away, apparently, because I'm so bad at it.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay, I got away from that one. Tense.
What is that? That doesn't sound...
The picture.
Yeah, this is actually fun and terrifying.
It's fun and terrifying, both. It's called Fear, and it is, it's basically your standard zombie endless runner. It costs $3.99, and yeah, I wanted to recommend it. Thank you, Dan, for sending it on. So whether you are blind or sighted, it is an interesting game to check out.
Yeah, cool.
So that's it, Micah. We did it.
We did it. We've reached the end of the episode.
Yes.
We got through the zombie. Well, we kind of got through. Didn't really get through the zombies.
No, we are dead. But
I have an appointment for goat yoga, so I do need to go soon. But
great. thank you so much for joining us. All the links to everything that Micah talked about will be in the show notes if you want to buy any of the stuff. And like I said, like check around for prices because they're changing all the time, especially in this holiday month. So Micah, all your work can be found at chihuahua.coffee. Even though you have two chihuahuas, the URL is just one chihuahua.
Please don't tell them. If you scroll down on that page, you'll see images that have links to all the different things. So you can follow me on Snapchat if you want to. I'm not ever there, but Twitter, Instagram, my work over at iMore, where I freelance for them occasionally, and then all the different podcasts I do. And then, of course, the thing ends with photos of my pups.
Yes. How many podcasts are you doing? And do you do them for Relay FM and who else?
I do need to update my site. I know they're not, up there on that page, but I do Wow. Clockwise for Relay FM. That's a 30-minute tech show. I do a show called Query with Stephen Hackett on Relay FM. That is a show where people ask questions and we answer them. And then one of the podcasts that I do that folks who may not be into tech but might be interested in, it's called Somehow I Manage. It's over on The Incomparable. And Tiffany Arment and me, or and I, talk about The Office. So we watch an episode and talk about it each episode. And it's been fun. I think we're on season three. We're well into season three at this point. But yeah, Somehow I Manage. So you can go to somehowimanage.biz and that will redirect you to the page where it's got links depending on what podcast app you use if you want to check that out. So yeah, those are the three main ones right now. And then I've got some others that are in and out of, I've talked about Lucid before. My co-host is currently on sabbatical at the moment, so we are not doing that one, but it will be back. And yeah, we will be accepting dreams again soon to interpret for the show. So stay posted there, and I'll be sure to share links when that is available again.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Micah. And you can find me at meganatwit.tv, and you can find this podcast every, we usually record Tuesdays. We record a little bit early for Micah because he's so busy. Hard to track down, but Tuesdays. And of course you can get it wherever you get podcasts. It's available on demand on all of those podcasts, and you can get it on YouTube as well. We would love for you to subscribe that way. Whenever it comes out, you will get it. And you can join us in the studio if you want to come and watch the show. Just go to tickets at twit.tv to get a seat and see all the magic happen live. All the episodes are at twit.tv/iOS. And send us a video. Send your questions. Most of your questions that you sent me are directed at Leo, so I thought we would save them till he comes back next week. But you can email me a question at megan@twit.tv. Thank you so much, Micah, for joining us. And thank you all for watching. We'll see you next week on iOS Today. We'll